Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Well, speaking about the battle on the media, the battle in hashtags and headlines is a very, very significant one. And we can see in the Gaza war that it is not only the physical battle, but the one that takes place outside of Gaza that is equally and maybe sometimes even more important. Few people understand this better than Dr. Ron Schleifer. He's a leading researcher on psychological warfare and propaganda, particularly in this context. As narratives of Gaza starvation dominate international headlines, aid trucks are rolling through, but anti-Semitism is still rising. Dr. Schleifer, thank you for joining us. A very good morning to you. From your expertise in psychological warfare, how do humanitarian crises become weaponized in the information space?
This is a very good formulation of the issue at hand. First of all, there's the it's no accident. It's not that somebody just thought of let's do a starvation campaign, a famine campaign, and that will deal a great blow to the Israelis and their supporters. It is no accident. This is a very, very well-oiled machine which stands behind it. And it's pre-planning and execution, and a lot of money going into that, and it's been started long ago. It involves bots which were bought and planted on the social media a decade ago, this is what I'm trying to say. It's not just a merely an accident. It's nothing on social media nowadays and on the old media is by accident. It's all very, very well organized. So this is the first thing that needs to be understood. Mm-hmm. Secondly, there is what's called a compassion industry. It's a book by a Dutch author. She was involved in such well-meaning organizations in Africa, and turns out that it's a billion-dollar industry, which is about fundraising and about spending a high expenditure industry, and which actually prolongs the conflict rather than solve it. This is what we have here. It's the UN versus the Humanitarian Foundation. And the UN is not going to give up on the billion-dollar lucrative operation which the organization has been using for decades. UNRWA, for example, and all the rest. A lot of people are gaining and having a very good life. We're talking about the international community. We're talking about lots of Israelis. We're definitely lots of Arabs who are having a high stake on this on the organization. And now here comes the Humanitarian Foundation, and they're coming in, and they want to take away our lucrative operation. It's not going to happen. So the UN is stalling. And the Gazans are suffering, but who cares about the Gazans? It's they are just pawns in this immense struggle between you know between high power organizations. And this is what really happening behind the scenes. And Israel and the Jewish people are taking a beating again. It's well, I'm old enough to remember the second Intifada when Muhammad Adoura staged a stage operation. What Professor Richard Landis has called Pallywood, which is the Palestinian Hollywood, and this is the lying industry that the Palestinians have created.
And
Muhammad Adoura.
Right, sorry, carry on.
Muhammad Adoura was a huge operation, PR operation, which was initiated by the Palestinians, very successful. According to the story, him and his son were going to buy and to review a car, and which they wanted to buy, and then the Israeli snipers shot the kid on lying on his father's lap. Turns out it was all a hoax, and which was one out of many. And this one caught up. Now the damage that it caused Israel was tremendous, because suicide bombers were filming their videos before their departure with the picture of Muhammad Adoura,
wow,
saying,
wow,
"I'm going to sacrifice my life."
Right.
Because of Muhammad Adoura. So so we're having another, so now it's not Pallywood, it's Gazawood. And what is frustrating is really that there are luxury restaurants in Gaza which are fully booked and fully equipped, and people are you know are standing in line for the luxury restaurants in Gaza. Well, while they are the Hamas and the Islamic Jihad and the followers around the world are falsifying pictures of starvation. This is a campaign, and it will last as long as it will last, and until the next campaign.
But in the meantime, this seems to be doing significant damage politically. You know, we saw at the beginning of the war the false claim that Israel had bombed a hospital. Turned out that it was Islamic Jihad that had done that. But it didn't matter. Synagogues were burnt around the world. They were attacked. And that was the catalyst for a tremendous response. And it didn't matter that it wasn't real. Now we're having the same thing, but this time it is having an impact on governments around the world making decisions and perhaps doing real damage to Israel in that forum.
Indeed. So this is the cycle that we find ourselves in. The small minor PR victory or psychological warfare victory was noted yesterday when the one of the former wives of Yahya Sinwar was pictured in Istanbul. It turns out that she was smuggled, her and her children were smuggled out of Gaza into Turkey, and she has remarried and having a good life, and the Palestinians remain there wondering, why are we left here to suffer, where our corrupt leader leadership is having a ball in abroad. This was a small victory, nevertheless, which shows that the power of psychological warfare or propaganda, if you wish, is so immense, which makes you wonder why Israel is not dealing with that on a more, on a more.
Well, it's a conversation that you and I keep having, because it is very, very concerning, and it is strange that Israel isn't more active in this space. Dr. Ron Schleifer, thank you as always. Researcher on psychological warfare. It is 7:32. Give me your thoughts, 061-895-1019.
I'm Ilan from SundryMed, your friendly local medical supply company. This month, our super special is 2-ply toilet paper, 18 rolls, only 90 Rand. Plus, we have the best prices on a wide range of burn shield, tissues, blue gloves, wound care, adult pull-ups, bandages, plasters, face masks, and everything first aid. See you at SundryMed, bottom floor, Genesis Shopping Center.
Introducing EV Motors, the newest dealership from Eastfall. Buy any car before 31st July and get a 5,000 Rand fuel voucher. Email us at beatadeal@eastfall.co.za. All brands, one destination. Your next car is waiting.
Do you want to learn to read Hebrew? With Jigsy's Fast Track Hebrew Reading course, you'll be reading in just 6 easy online units. It's the perfect way to start reading Hebrew prayers with confidence. Hi FM listeners, get a 50% discount if you sign up by the end of July. Visit www.jewishinteractive.org/chai and let's get reading.
Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
The Johannesburg Philharmonic Orchestra's early spring season features an exciting roster of international and local talent. Programs include favorites by Mozart, Beethoven, and Tchaikovsky. Concerts take place at the Linda Auditorium on Thursday evenings from the 7th to the 28th of August. Enjoy the warmer early spring season and book your tickets at Quicket. Season tickets available at info@jpo.co.za. It is 7:34. Louis Karpus, good morning. How are you?
Morning, Howard. Morning, everybody. We're going to start with a fun fact for you. This weekend is the start of the oldest rugby competition in the world, the Currie Cup. So how did the Currie Cup come to be? Well, it came from the first overseas rugby team that toured South Africa in 1891. They were called the British Isles. They carried with them a particularly precious bit of cargo. Amongst their bags, boots and balls was a golden cup given to them by Sir Donald Currie. He was the owner of Union Castle Lines, the shipping company that transported them to the southern tip of Africa. Sir Donald was clear with his instructions: give the trophy to the team in South Africa that gives the best game. And after a spirited display where the unbeaten British Lions narrowly won 3-0, Griqualand West became the first ever holders of the Currie Cup. There's your fun fact for you, which brings me to the first fixture in the Currie Cup, featuring Griquas themselves. They're off to Mbombela to play the Pumas at 7 o'clock tonight. Tomorrow, the Lions play the Sharks in a repeat of last year's Currie Cup final. And then later on in the afternoon, 5:10, the old foes tackle each other, the two teams that have won the competition the most number of times, Western Province and the Vodacom Bulls. In those days, it used to be Western Province, Northern Transvaal, Natal and Transvaal, so slightly changed now. Right, there's also big rugby tomorrow. It's the second test match at the MCG. That's the Melbourne Cricket Ground, where they're expecting 90,000 people to watch Australia play the British Lions. That kicks off at 12 o'clock. The cricket continues. England and India at Old Trafford in Manchester after Zach Crawley and Ben Duckett got England off to a flying start when they went into bat yesterday on the second day of the fourth test before India ensured both openers fell agonizingly short of centuries. England ended the day on 225 for 2. That is after they dismissed India for 358. There's more cricket this weekend, and the big one, of course, tomorrow. We'll talk about that in a moment. But before we get to that, 1 a.m. tomorrow morning, later on tonight, the West Indies tackle Australia in the third T20 International. 11:45 tomorrow, the Irish women take on the Zimbabwe women. And at 1 o'clock tomorrow, it's the T20 Tri-Series final between New Zealand and South Africa. Sunday, the West Indies play Australia. That's in the early hours of Sunday morning, late Saturday night. And then, of course, on Monday, the Irish women take on the Zimbabweans. It's like kissing your sister tonight's game, but the sisters will play Ghana against South Africa in the playoff for third and fourth place of the CAF African Cup of Nations. The big final tomorrow evening at 10 o'clock in Casablanca sees the hosts Morocco take on Nigeria. Nigeria, of course, have won this competition the most number of times. Tomorrow and Sunday sees Grand Prix motor racing action, the sprint race tomorrow and the main race on Sunday. While Lando Norris has praised Scotty Scheffler for questioning the point of his success and said it resonated with his own feelings, Lewis Hamilton says Ferrari's not firing on all cylinders and Red Bull will be out there for the very first time ever without Christian Horner at the helm. And finally, the tennis continues in Washington. Unfortunately, it doesn't continue for Venus Williams. Her return came to an abrupt end last night when she was beaten by the Polish player Magdalena Frech in straight sets. The 45-year-old seven-time Grand Slam singles champion, playing for the first time in 16 months, became the oldest woman to win a WTA match in more than two decades with her first round win over Peyton Stearns. Right, your sporting question this morning, I'd like to know from you, what does the T stand for in T20? What does the T stand for in T20?
I've never thought of that.
I'll bet you hadn't. So that's this morning's sports question. Have a great Shabbos. Have a great weekend. I'll be back on Monday morning.
Thank you, Louis Karpus. If you know the answer to that question, 061-895-1019.